Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey City Church, welcome back to More Than That. This week we had Rafael Mkandla, who is our lead pastor, back from a pretty extensive travel schedule. So he's been here on and off the past couple weeks. So Rafael, you had the last little bit of Philippians, which was chapter 4, verses 10 through 23. So if you had an extra 10 minutes to introduce something new or dive a little deeper on something that you already brought up, what would that have been?
Probably the idea of what Paul is actually doing within the book of Philippians, which is why we started the series. We really dive into the series was wanting people to recognize that joy is possible. That joy is possible even in circumstances that are crazy around us. And joy is only possible when you are now starting to see, to use the City of God analogy.
Mm-hmm.
When you're starting to see the prayers being answered, that when the Lord taught us to pray, he said, pray in this way, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name, and your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you're starting to see, getting to tune your eyes and your ears and your tuning everything around you, and just to seeing where the kingdom of God is now invading the earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what becomes very important. And I think when you're looking at Paul, Paul's argument there is just showing that the kingdom of God has now invaded the earth, and so therefore there's actually greater things to be very joyful for, and one of the things at least that then he becomes joyful for is just seeing the King at work.
Mm-hmm.
The King at work, and that's really what the big argument in the book of Philippians is. He is writing to people that take pride in their Roman citizenship,
mm-hmm.
That take pride in their citizenship. Since this city had been conquered, and so they take pride in that, but he wants them to take even greater pride in the citizenship that they actually now that they have in Jesus. And with that said, that's why on Sunday I spent some time just showing at least like where, a lot of times when we look at this last portion, it's so easy to just focus more on the partnership aspect, which is very important. And we're going to talk about that here in a second. The partnership aspect of just the fact that like Paul is provided for, he's been provided for by the church in Philippi. But Paul has bigger fish to fry. His bigger fish to fry is that he's been saying, church, be humble. Let's follow Jesus. Let's be, and then the great hymn in Philippians mm-hmm. chapter 2. Let's follow Jesus. Let's be examples of Jesus. Let's model Jesus. I've modeled Jesus in this way, he takes all his accomplishments, of which on Sunday I used the word CV, the British kind of version of like what your resume would look like.
You stole my question.
Yeah. So on Sunday I used that. I was just really, he looks at himself and he's like, compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ, mm-hmm. I consider it nothing. He looks at Timothy, who's a hard worker, mm-hmm. and he looks at, Epaphroditus, who almost dies, and he loves the church, concerned about the church. And then he begs these two people in the church to reconcile and have a Christ-like unity and fellowship and all that stuff. And he begs the church as well to, encourages the church to also be anxious for nothing, but, you know, to really be in prayer and supplication, you know, to make their request known to God. And he says, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, like he also just encourages the church to think gospel-centered thoughts. Of seeing what is lovely, what is good, what is recommendable, and all those things. And then so what we see now is actually Paul then showing an example of what it looks mm-hmm. like. And by showing that, and he just basically like looks at them when they've given, and he says, man, thank you so much for giving. But far beyond your giving, I see something else. And what are those things? It's going to be, man, in a world where nobody else cares about anybody but themselves, in a self-centered world, I see a Christ care in you. You renewed your care for me. Mm-hmm. You know, in a discontent world, I see a contentment that is really brought out by Christ inside within me. And he's really also just really encouraging them with that. And then also in a world where people just probably desert other people, he says, man, other churches were not there for me. They just didn't they didn't stay with me. But he's like, man, but I see your commitment to me. It's just amazing there. And I see what he's saying in there is that he's seeing Jesus at work in them. And he's saying, guys, this is not just you. It is Jesus, you know. And he has this Christ-centered confidence that God is going to provide for them. Mm-hmm. And the letter obviously ends with him just really looking and he's saying, you know, the saints everywhere greet you. But he highlights the fact that I think he's very intentional there when he says that, like, all the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Mm-hmm. What he is really highlighting there is that the city of God is now really is taking over the city of men. Mm-hmm. We know what's going to end up happening in Rome. Christianity is going to end up being, you know, taking totally over. But that's what Paul is really just like, what brings him joy. And I want, you know, I can't beat this horse, this dead horse more than enough. I think what's very important is I just see quite a lot lately of people that just lack joy. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason why sometimes we lack joy is that we're not disciplining ourselves to look at and see where God's grace is at work mm-hmm. in us and around us and all over the world, especially like, yeah, just, and I think that's what's sustaining Paul here.
Yeah.
Just seeing the evidences of grace as in like, man, you guys are giving. Wow. And then at the same time, like the gratitude. Mm-hmm. You're seeing Paul also just having this gratitude. And I just see quite a lot of people lately, even including myself, my joy is easily sapped when I start really just focusing on just myself and I, mm-hmm. Instead of actually looking and seeing where Christ is at work and realizing that as joy, mm-hmm. As sources of joy, mm-hmm. sustained joy.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of joy, because that's something that's a really important thing that a lot of people tend to miss.
Yeah.
So joy is different from happiness.
Yeah.
How is it different? Like, how can you like explain a little bit of that distinction for us? Because, you know, we see in different places joy and happy, and how they're not used in the same way, but yet just because you're happy doesn't mean you're joyful.
Yeah. When it comes to that, it's just a sense of joy is not the absence of chaos.
Okay.
Life is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Joy is not the absence of chaos. But I think for the Christian, joy then becomes this sense of this deep-seated peace, this deep-seated sense of things are going to be all right, this deep sense of I'm taken care of, even though everything is just blown everything around.
Mm-hmm.
This deep sense. So it's just the joy. Joy is this place where at least you're making sure that. This deep-seated place of like being unmoved, because you know you're planted in a foundation that is very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, a house that is planted on a strong foundation, joy is in that foundation even in the midst of the storms.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You see what I mean? Like, and so happiness is just this thing of like...
It's an emotion.
Yeah, it's an emotion. And and so it's an emotion. But when I'm talking about joy, I'm just talking about, man, this sucks. But man, I am so glad that at least, you know, you are still able to see what are some of the things that actually will not affect my joy there.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're thinking about what joy is, you have to now expand and just think about this place, that you are safe and secure. In the midst of it, in the lows of life and in the highs of life, and you just like, I think joy is also maybe contentment also helps understand what joy really looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Just this person that's just like unmoved, right? So that's what I would actually just look at that as.
Okay.
There's one theologian that. I just love it. It's the way, you know, they define what joy is. And I'm going to pull it up here in a second. Because joy then, this is how it is like they define it. It's this thing where, something that's happening within it, just like joy, this is what actually said, joy belongs to the realm of the supernatural, right? Like where at the end of the day, it's just really this thing where you're finding yourself like in the midst where, man, like this thing is meant to steal your peace, this thing is meant to like almost crumble you. You're finding yourself having a sense of the fact that like God is with me even in this moment. So I would say just if I was to maybe use, it's just unaffected in a healthy way.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Unaffected in a healthy way. Not that you're ignoring what's going on,
mm-hmm.
but you're looking at all of it and you're seeing through all those circumstances,
mm-hmm.
and you're seeing through them, and you're making sure that you're getting the benefits of that, no matter how negative it is,
mm-hmm.
and then but you're seeing through the lies, you're seeing through that trial to see also even the negative ramifications of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's this thing of like taking, it's like, for example, there's a verse that we hate. What is the verse that we love and hate? We hate it when people throw it to us too soon, kind of like God works all things together for the good for those who love him.
Mm-hmm.
What is that meant to induce in within you? Like, but people hate it when it's just thrown to them, like right when they're processing through pain.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, it's actually joy is a perspective. Yeah, joy is perspective of being unaffected, like an unaffected perspective in the midst of affected, in the midst of circumstances.
Like that, an infected circumstance.
Yeah, infected. Okay, there you go. That's a good definition.
I mean, like, so, like, as I'm thinking...
So, it's also a disposition.
Yeah, like, the way that I'm thinking about that, because, like, we see... Because Paul's in prison, correct, as he's writing this?
Yeah.
So, we're seeing Paul come from this, like, he's suffering already. He's in prison. Like, prison back in the first century was not a fun time. Like, you didn't get 3 meals a day. You got a chain around your ankle...
Yeah,
in a cell, and that's all you got.
Mm-hmm.
And for everything else that was given to you was provided by family, friends, other people.
Yeah.
So, when he's writing that he's joyful about all of these things, that's his default perspective stance, where he's not looking at it from a from his actual circumstance that he's in currently, but it's he's viewing that circumstance from a position of being seated at the foot of the cross.
Yeah.
Where that is his original like vantage point. But yeah, the cross is in front of him, looking through, and he's looking through the cross at this, which then provides a lens for him to see his current circumstance through.
Yeah, it's not.
Joy isn't the lens. Joy is more of like the lens and the position that you're in.
So it's just how you're seeing things,
mm-hmm.
how you're seeing things, and what you're more aware of. And that's why the Bible is gonna keep on talking about keeping. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, and when we look specifically at some of these like places, like I would say places like Galatians chapter 5,
mm-hmm.
Which really just then says that like joy is something that the Spirit gives. It's the fruit of the Spirit, right? It's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, just... it's just an affected place.
Yeah.
Like, just what she's doing right
it's
now.
Yeah. It's an unaffected place of viewing an infected world.
Yeah. So, it's this place that now when you're looking... when you're looking at, you know, all circumstances, and you're looking at things that are happening around you, you're thinking about, okay, what is the angle? How do I see this? Because a lot of times, then people, I like just like what you said when you're saying it gives you perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. perspective, and as into like, how do I process what's happening in front of me right now? You know, how do I process this? What does it mean? Like when I'm looking, you know, yes, I've passed from the domain of darkness into the domain of being quote unquote saved. And really what then, what is my grounding? Mm-hmm. I think that's also just like, what's my grounding? What keeps me on the ground? Because we get amazed by people that way when people are like, hey, what keeps you on the ground?
Yeah.
When everything seems to be shaking.
Mm-hmm.
And that sense of groundedness comes from the fact that, like, I also, instead of responding in fear, instead of responding in a way that, like, I'm grasping for control, I'm doing all that stuff, mm-hmm. I know that I have a sovereign God who's steadfast in terms of his love towards me. And I have a Jesus who has conquered everything. And so therefore my joy is still secure even in that kind of time. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just, yeah, I'm glad at least we're talking through this. We're talking through this because joy is probably one of the most misunderstood, like, things.
Mm-hmm.
But yet it's the supernatural thing. It's something that the spirit births.
Yeah.
That, like, you're like, man, I'm going through it right now, but there's just this sense of like, I'm peaceful, I'm mm-hmm. okay. It's falling apart. I don't know how, but like, wow, things are, you know, that's why at least the fruit of the spirit as a whole is love, joy, peace, like, and all that stuff. Like, it's just, you're finding yourself just like in this place where, man, we can still smile even when things, it's not artificial.
Mm-hmm.
I can still find myself just being able to see, like have a great perspective in the midst of the worst moments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the reason I bring that up is a lot of times, and I've mentioned this whenever we were talking about grace, and glorify all of these things. Like, we are, yes, my daughter is here, so if you're hearing that, that's, she's enjoying whatever toy she's got. We toss these terms around within Christianity, and a lot of times we do so just kind of naturally,
yeah,
almost as if we know what those words mean. But really, we don't. It's just a part of the culture, so we just adopt it and we go with it. So
yeah.
It makes, and you, I've mentioned to you multiple times that Christianese like sends chills down my spine. So going through these terms and asking, you know, what do they mean, is more for clarification. So whenever we're talking with a Christian or a non-Christian, you're able to be like, well, here's what this means, and I can maybe reformat it in such a way that it makes sense to everybody, even though you know that you're talking about joy,
mm-hmm.
or grace, or glorification, whatever it is.
Yeah, and when it comes to this, like, and I love, like, for example, what I have it in my notes here, this gentleman, like, what he said there was the fact that joy results from our experience of God's grace, this undeserved love that mm-hmm. we get. That's what grace is, and blessings. And they are never dimmed by tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right? Like, and so I think one of the best ways to illustrate what joy looks like is thinking about the sun. The sun having the confidence of knowing that God hasn't changed his mind, and his love and his benevolence towards mm-hmm. you, even on a cloudy day,
yeah,
the sun still is shining.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's actually like having almost like a fixed, like, at my worst, I know that God hasn't changed his mind. You know, at my best, I know that. That's really, really what Paul was talking about there when he's like, you know, I found the secret of contentment through Christ. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Through Christ. Yeah. So that's...
So another thing, as you were talking in with this last, or the other like 10 minutes that you had, I just was wondering, and maybe you came across this, maybe you didn't, but part of the reason is like why I'm thinking, part of the reason why the Philippian church was so supportive of Paul wasn't just because he was a fellow co-laborer, like a co-laborer in Christ.
Yeah.
It's because that plus Roman citizenship. It was like this dual citizenship that they had this really big bond to Paul, because not only were Roman citizens very proud of it and they saw every Roman citizen as a brother or a sister, but now they're seeing Paul as like a double brother, where you're a Roman citizen but you're also a heavenly citizen that we can rally around, and that's worth that full support. So did you come across anything
there is obviously like
because I mean Paul threw that Roman citizenship around a lot,
but he threw it to his use.
He did.
It mattered the most. And at this point, obviously, their citizenship is thrown in a way that's like, yes, it's celebrated as a tool, but it's also, there's also a subversive kind of side of that, of just just showing the power of the gospel, in the fact that like now they've switched allegiance from you know, and being Roman at that time, the citizenship had so much what I would say benefits. But at that moment, there could have been just like a great fellowship within that.
Yeah.
But this is actually maybe even what you were saying. The Philippians kind of just maybe saw Paul as like, he gets us.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
He gets us. And so he knows what our struggle is, you know? He gets us. So, yeah. But whatever it is, it just also, maybe just culturally wise, one of the things that's important here is, and whether it's actually like, you know, as churches, what I have actually found, no matter whatever missionary that I've known, and for example, you work in college ministries, and you do, and you know, and you raise support, you do all that. I found that a lot of times, people just really don't want just your money. They just don't want your, you know, and I saw that in Guatemala when we visited. Yeah, we support them and all that. But for them, like, they really just like, that was so secondary. People just want to know you. And what's so beautiful here is the fact that, like, you're seeing what really makes this relationship amazing and joy to be multiplied in this church is also just the whole idea that, man, they have just gone through hardships with him. They've been persecuted together with Paul. They share quite a lot of things in common. But at the same time, you're seeing they're investing in their relationship with him. You know what I mean? Like, they're investing. And which is really like what I would love to see even more and more of. I think any missionary, anyone, just really doesn't just want, they want relationship.
Yeah.
Because it goes far much more. And so we're seeing just even there a great example of what maybe churches and their leaders need to look like. Because, you know, you know, as we speak, like today, I was showing you a story of just like, man, damn, the tragedy of there was a pastor missing in Texas who basically, like, they don't know what happened to him,
mm-hmm.
but he had a bullet through his head, and you just, but part of that is that, like, you start to get to wonder, are we, you know, when it comes to even ministry, are we going to be those that take care of our leaders, and are we going to be churches that really, like, have relationship with those who lead us? And then as leaders, are we going to have relationship with those we are with? Are we part of a community? Are we able to send and say, hey, I'm not okay? Or you see what I mean? Like, at least, like, you know, the book of Philippians shows you, you know, that Paul had a great relationship with them. And I think that's what's missing in today's church. Like, where sometimes, like, you know, I just get to wonder, like, if what I think happened to this brother is, you know, is, you know, very tragic, it just makes me also wonder, was he, like, surrounded by people that he thought were brothers but couldn't talk to? You know, but here you're seeing these people that are like, hey, Paul, we won't forget you in prison. And Paul says, man, like, your care for me blossomed when you did this. And I think we need to be people who are looking out for each other and making sure our care blossoms. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And from the... I mean, you've done support raising in the past. And I mean, you still do it to a certain extent. But from the perspective of somebody who is fully supported and has to go out and do that to make sure that the lights are on and things like that, and take care of family. The financial side is great, because we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing without it. But we do miss that relationship that we were talking last night at home group or at regroup about, you know, somebody checking in on you. And a lot of missionaries and pastors, and I'm wondering the same thing, is like, did this pastor that went missing have somebody that was constantly checking in on him?
Yeah.
Like, hey, I you're my pastor. I want to know how you're doing. I want to know this, this, and this because I care about you. Yes, I know I'm giving to the church, or like as a missionary, like, hey, I know that I'm giving to you, but I'm giving to you because I care about you.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's part of, you know, maybe this is what you were getting at, but like the culture in the church surrounding those that were financially and like physically supporting, it's like we need to also do physical and relational supporting as well.
Yeah, that's why I was saying that, like, you know, joy is sustained when church relationships move from consuming spaces. What is that, girl? when we move from being consuming spaces to partnering spaces.
Yeah, yeah. Because you know, so that partnership is very different.
It's different, yeah.
Than consumer. Which we can get into that some other time.
Yeah.
That's totally way far afield from the sermon. But Raphael, thank you for this past Sunday's sermon, and kind of putting a very often misquoted verse in context, and just for giving us the perspective in how to work through this, how to stay joyful through suffering, and what joy actually means. And I just want to remind you that are listening, this is not a replacement for the Sunday sermon. It's not a replacement for being involved in a local church. So we would love to get to know you. If you don't have a home church, If you're in Williamsport, come visit us. Let us know who you are. And we would love to just get to know you and really kind of lean into this joyful kingdom citizenship that we've been talking about the last couple weeks and really do that together. So, Raphael, thank you again, and we will see you all next week.